David Kolb learning style model and experiential learning theory defines three stages of person's development: acquisition, specialization, and integration. Acquisition: birth to adolescence, development of basic abilities and cognitive structures. Birth to adolescence means what? From the time you are born, or from the time you start something and you do it, you come to a certain stage wherein you feel it makes meaningfulness. That is a stage of acquisition. So I am sitting on a bicycle and I'm trying to ride. I don't know a bicycle. First time I'm sitting on it, that is birth. Then I keep riding on it and I may fall down, I may get up and all. So gradually after some time, the acquisition becomes I feel comfortable on the bicycle, although sometimes I may fall, but not as frequently as before. My cognitive structures get aligned. Then once I do this, then I enter into specialization. Schooling, early work and personal experiences of adulthood. So when I keep riding this bicycle, I get into riding the bicycle in a much more better way than before. Development of particular specialized learning styles shaped by social, educational, organizational socialization. So in this specialization stage, what happens is there are so many factors that come into picture. I am very confident, so I can take more inputs and I can get into the specialized zone. I'm giving the example of the bicycle as a parallel to understand the thing. Third one is integration, mid-career through later life. Now this has been given here. Expression of non-dominant learning style in working and personal life. So when I'm going through this thing, I'm integrating various learnings together. I may be learning, knowing bicycle. I may also learn to listen to a music on a iPod or something. So I'll combine both of them and then ride a cycle. I may want to talk to somebody. So my mobile is also on and my Bluetooth is also on. So when we integrate a number of learning together, that's what this is. This integration cannot happen according to this model unless acquisition and specialization has taken place. So I am going to be discussing these theories of learning, and you can look at the block diagram inside, the cycle of learning of Kolb. On the top, you can see concrete experience. Concrete experience means I'm going through a feeling, if you can notice it. When you go clockwise, you come to the 3 p.m. position, you'll find reflective observation, watching. So some people learn by concrete experience, by feeling. Some people watch and they're reflecting upon it. Then you go down to the 6 p.m. position, you'll find abstract conceptualization, thinking. Some people start thinking in abstract terms, not in concrete terms. Okay, I'll give an example and explain to you. And when you go further to the 9 p.m. position, active experimentation, that is actually doing it. Now this active experimentation further leads to concrete experience. This is a cycle. It's called as a Kolb learning cycle. Concrete experience, which is feeling, can lead to reflective observation, which is watching, can result in abstract conceptualization, which is thinking, can lead to active experimentation, doing. Doing will further take you to the feeling. This is a cyclic thing. So the cycle goes on. But the point to be noted is that you can start from anywhere and come back to the starting point. I can start by thinking about a cycle, thinking about a car, about the various abstract parts of the car, how the engine is moving, how the engines are firing, etc. Then I can start sitting in the car after thinking, abstract experiment, active experimentation. Then I can go to the concrete experience of feeling what I'm feeling. And then I can actually watch. I can say, okay, this is what I thought, this is what I've experienced, this is what I think. So this is a outer cycle, what you're seeing. Now this results in, you can see those four blocks in red: accommodating, diverging, assimilating, and converging. This is exactly what happens to you in terms of skills development. So in accommodating, I feel and do. You can see that it's coming between concrete experience and active experimentation. I feel and do that. I'm accommodating it. I'm taking it as a part of my system. When the feeling and the watching are together, I am into diverging. I am feeling and watching. So feeling is on one side, watching is on the other side. So I'm seeing both sides, or I'm trying to see, make sense of it. When it's watching and thinking, I'm assimilating. Watching and thinking means I'm trying to absorb it. And then when I'm thinking and doing, I'm converging my thinking into doing. So now all this is coming under processing continuum, as it is mentioned there, right? This processing continuum gives you perceptual continuum. On the horizontal axis, active experimentation and reflective observation is basically processing continuum. What is meant by continuum? These two are happening all the time. Watching, doing, watching, doing, watching, doing. This is all about action of your sensory organs. Now feeling and thinking vertically down is about perceptual continuum. There are two continuums, processing continuum and perceptual continuum. Both of them are combining together. One is about what I perceive, what I perceive perception, and how I convert it into processing. Is done in these four different stages. The outer circle, dotted circle, is giving you the four different types of ways in which we learn. We can start from anywhere. A person may want to start from doing, and then he may go through feeling, watching, thinking, and back to doing. Thereby he calibrates how much of doing is making sense. Or he can start from thinking and coming back to thinking. This, in short, is this particular slide on theories of learning. Whatever influences the choices of style, the learning style preference itself is actually the product of two pairs of variables, two separate choices that we make. Cole presented as lines of axis, each with conflicting models on either side. Conflicting is inverted commas, is not conflicting, it looks conflicting, but it's not. Concrete experience, CE, feeling. V, abstract conceptualization, AC, thinking. Active experimentation, AE, doing. Reflecting observation, RO, watching. Right? Active experimentation, doing. Reflective observation, RO, watching. Kolb presents two continuums, east-west. What I call it, a 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. That three, number 3 and number 9 position. East-west, that is called as a processing continuum. How we approach a task, the how part of it, underline how. And the north-south axis is called as a perception continuum, our emotional response on how we think or feel. One is about how we do, how we approach a task. Second is how we feel about it. These are the two simple things to understand. These learning styles are the combination of two lines of axis or continuums, as you call it, each formed between what Kolb calls dialectically related models of grasping experience, doing and watching, and transforming experience, feeling and thinking. There is something like doing and watching. I'm doing and watching something. And there's a feeling and thinking that may come later or it may come together. The second part is a transforming experience, which will transform you from just doing into meaningful doing. Right? Kolb realized that we cannot do both at the same time, and to an extent our urge to want to do both creates conflict. All of you will agree, whenever you learn something, either you learn the theory first and then go for the practice, or you do the practice and then learn the theory. Both of them together, when you learn, there is a bound to be some sort of a conflict in your brain. So we resolve this through choice when confronted with the new learning. There's an invisible bridge between the two continuums that need to be crossed by the learner to make a style prominent. So you can choose to learn the theory first and then the practice, or you can choose the practice first and then the theory, but both have to be understood and learned by you. Then the learning becomes prominent, right? We internally decide whether we want to do or watch. Each of us makes a choice. At the same time, we decide whether to think or feel. In different scenarios, you may do one or the other. In a classroom, you may say that first let me listen to the professor, then I'll go and apply in real life. In a training program, or when I take you an outbound training to the hills or something, you'll first want to do it, and then we sit down and do a debriefing. Why did you do what you do? Why did you climb the hill this way? Why did you do rappelling this way? The why part of it, the logic part of it will come later. The result of doing of these two decisions produces and helps to form throughout our lives the preferred learning style. So there are certain people who would always prefer to first read something before they do something. And there are some people who say, first I'll do something, only then I'll read. So we choose a way of grasping the experience which defines our approach to it, and we choose the way to transform the experience into something meaningful and useful, usable, which defines our emotional response to the experience. Ultimately, we say that whatever we do, there should be an emotional connect. If something has to be meaningful to you, there should be an emotional connect. I'm giving this video talk here. There should be emotional connect between what I have read and what is my feeling towards what I'm giving you. There should be emotional connect. Then my experience of delivering this particular video lecture will become meaningful to me. it will transform the whole thing into something very meaningful and usable for me. Otherwise, if I do only one or only the other, there is a incompleteness. Only learning theory will make you dry, you cannot apply. Only application will make you stuck up whenever there is an issue about why and what. Okay? Thus, our learning style is a product of these two choices: how to approach a task, grasping experience, preferring to A, watch, or B, do. Our emotional response to the experience, that is a transforming experience, preferring to think or to feel. It is easier to construct a 2x2 matrix of Kolb's learning style as under. You see the 2x2 matrix there. Okay, there are four learning styles which I've already explained when I explained the diagram: doing, active experimentation, watching, reflective observation, feeling, concrete experience, and thinking, abstract conceptualization. These are the two different axes. So we have an accommodating person, accommodating learning, converging learning, diverging learning, and assimilating learning. Now, somebody asked me this question in one of the training programs: which is the best? All are best in their own way. You can start from anywhere and you can become anything else. Okay? The brief description of the four Kolb learning styles are as under: diverging. They are sensitive. They prefer to watch, then do, gather information, and use imagination to solve problems. Some people would like to first watch, gather information, use the imagination to solve problems. They are best at viewing concrete situations and several different viewpoints. They are good in viewing. The second one is assimilating, watching and thinking. They are concise, logical approach, to the point, very logical. Ideas and concepts are more important than people for them. So if you want a person who has to solve a problem or something not related to people, then an assimilating person will be good, would be effective. They require clear explanation than practical opportunity. They want everything to be properly, it should be clear as ever. Otherwise, they will not accept it. It should fit into their watching and thinking mode. They excel in understanding wide ranging information and organizing it in a clear, logical manner. You give them tons and tons of information, they'll know to put them in a proper order, and they'll give you a clear, logical format. They'll explain things to you very well. They are effective in careers related to information and science. They prefer reading lectures, exploring analytical models. Some faculty members, some of my colleagues, they fall in this category. They are very good in explaining things logically. Okay. The third variety, converging, doing and thinking. They can solve problems using their learnings to find solutions to practical issues. They prefer technical tasks and are less concrete with interpersonal aspects, less concerned with interpersonal aspects. You give them a machine to handle, you give them something to do with some contraption, they are very good in that, but they really not very good in interpersonal skills. They may not be. They like to experiment with new ideas to simulate and work with practical application. They love experimentation with gadgets and stuff like that. Converging, doing and thinking types. The fourth type, accommodating, doing and feeling, is a hands-on style and relies on intuition rather than logic. They use other people's analysis and prefer practical experiential approach. They are attracted to new challenges and experiences, and they rely on information from others than carrying on their own analysis. They just act, they like to do hands-on. This is a fourth category. In accommodating types, we also have the style is prevalent and useful for roles requiring action and intuition. Most people clearly exhibit clear, strong preferences of a given learning style. The ability to use or switch between different styles is not one that comes easily or naturally to many. So we have talked about four different styles. Each of us chooses one style over the remaining three. We have the capability of being the other three also, but we choose one because of the way we think, the way we make our choices, our cognitive, affective, etc. Right? Now we come to another theory. I mean, here we are talking about andragogy for adult learners. Now, who is an adult learner? Adult learner is one. There are two types of learners: child learning and adult learning. Adult learnings is for those people who have to convert a learning into a skill and a behavior for betterment. Child learning is one in which the child is learning the basic skills to become self-reliant. Adult is somebody who's got his self-reliance in terms of body, mind, etc. and he or she is in a position to do something better. So andragogy means adults teaching other adults. In andragogy, the trainer serves more as a facilitator or a catalyst for the learner's activities. Underline the word facilitator. I consider myself as a facilitator, not a trainer. What is a facilitation? I make you realize that this is what you need. Then you come and tell me, Venkat, I need this, I need to do that. What should I do? Then I show you pathways. A facilitator facilitates you to learn the skills. He doesn't force you to learn the skill. He doesn't say this is the right way or the wrong way. The facilitator is open to all different types of inputs to the people who are getting facilitated. Andragogy methods are often situation dependent and cannot be standardized. Different situations keep coming, and for every situation, the type of approaches to solve their situation is different. So you can't say that one situation is okay, one particular situation, if this is working, same thing will happen again. No. For example, there are two people are crying, two of them are crying. Situation is both are crying. There's no one single solution for both, because the reason for A is crying is different from the reason why B is crying. So you can't standardize it. That's why I've written in bracket different strokes for different folks. Since adults have life experience, they tend to question teaching and seek directions through discussions and clarifications. Children don't have life experience, so they listen to us. They get parented by whatever we tell them. But here, adults have got a thinking process, so they start questioning you. They say, why should it be this way? Why not this way? So the adult learning becomes very exciting, both for the learner as well as for the tutor. For the trainer to be effective, there should be a deep understanding about how adults learn. So if you see this diagram, this particular depiction, there are three parts to it: andragogy, tapping into the prior experience, transformational learning, which is the actual learning that takes place, revealing perspectives to creating the aha moment, the wow moment, where you find a difference in what you're doing. Third one is experiential learning, tying reality to create meaning. Now in andragogy, you can see those points given there. Need for knowledge leads to motivation, which leads to willingness, which is the foundation of experience, self-direction followed by orientation to learning. In transformative learning, the second part, you can find identification of a dilemma or a crisis, some problem you want to solve. Then you establish a personal relevance. It means a lot to me. If I solve the problem, it has got some relevance to me. And then you go through a critical reflection, right? And now the experiential learning, the third one, is about concrete experience, reflective observation, abstract conceptualization, and experimental learning. So reality to creative, tying reality to creative meaning is concrete experience, which is given in white. Reflective observation, which is given in green. Abstract conceptualization, which is given in purple, and also active experimentation given in purple, right? Now this is a depiction which has been copy pasted. This is what we are talking about, but I'll continue with what I have given here, right? Let's continue. Continuing with andragogy for adult learning, since adults have more responsibility, they need to balance it against the demands of learning. As adults, we are handling a lot of responsibilities. You know, when you grow up, let's talk about adult after, say, you finish your education, your degree is over, you may go for a post-graduation or something. Then suddenly there are demands. You have grown up as an adult, so you have to now learn to get a job, start living your life, maybe buy a home, get a partner, etc., etc. So there are more of responsibility, social responsibility that you need to get into. It is popularly believed that the more the responsibility, the learning becomes little lesser. You don't find time to learn, you don't get the mental makeup to learn. This is the usual thinking. Hence, we find adults having barriers in learning and participating. We find this very often. A lot of home responsibilities, this and that, so how can I learn? Some of the barriers include time, money, confidence, interest, information about opportunities to learn, scheduling problems. problems with child care, transportation, etc. Malcolm Knowles, referred to as the father of adult education, refers to andragogy as an emerging technology for adult learning. This was some time back. Now, it is no more an emerging technology, it has already become a ongoing technology wherein we have got different ways and means of making adults get into a learning, right? Andragogy is based on the following assumptions. The learner needs to know. There's a need for him to know. Adults need to set a specific goal about why they need to learn. Adults need to choose what to learn, how to learn, and how much to learn. Second point under this is the learner's self-concept. What is a self-concept? How good I'm feeling about myself? How do I look at myself? Do I look at myself as a person who wants to learn? Do I look at myself as a worthy person? Do I look at myself as a person who's liked by people? This is a self-concept which people have. So depending upon the learner's self-concept, the adults resent, they don't like, you know, they resent, and they resist situations when they feel that their free will is imposed upon. When you become an adult, you want to have more freedom to do what you think is correct. So when I put you in a classroom and I tell you to do this, you have a resistance. It's a role of the trainer to facilitate the learner to reduce the resentment and resistance and get willing to learn. Here is where the trainer doesn't become a trainer, he is a facilitator. He goes along with the adult's need for free will. So he has to structure his training in such a way that the free will of the person is not much disturbed. And he's willingly learning. Since adults are autonomous and self-directed, they need freedom to direct themselves. Give them time. Give them the choices. Put them into possibility thinking so that they say, fine, we can learn different ways. Facilitators need to customize their approach, which combines giving the learner an autonomy and also a push through motivation and meaningfulness into action. When I do corporate training, I come across middle-aged people, and there this phenomenon always comes up. Every manager sitting in the training room needs his autonomy of doing it his way. At the same time, there is something new he has to learn. So it should be my skill to ensure that this person is learning using his own autonomy. Without disturbing his autonomy, I've got to give him a gentle push, which is my skill, which I'm supposed to be having, right? So any one of you who's into adult teaching, you'll realize that this is one of the most toughest challenges. The stronger the person's personality, adults, you'll find it quite challenging to influence them into changes, which they need, not you need. The role of the learner's experience. The person is learning. Adult learners have life experience which makes them heterogeneous and varied. They've got a life experience which is heterogeneous. They've got an experience of married life, experience in their jobs, experience in raising their family, experience in taking care of their aged parents, all various types. So they travel a lot. So all these things are a life experience which they have. And mostly adults will start thinking, what is it they're going to teach me which I do not have? I have learned from life. This can happen. The facilitator needs to engage adults through case studies, reflective activities, group projects, and to keep them excited and involved. While validating their experiences, the trainer has to take them to the world beyond where new skills can be learned. I find many times a manager, maybe in the age of say late 30s or early 40s, he's done it all and seen it all. He's a really good manager, but the company wants the trainer to take him to the next level. So he keeps on raving and ranting about his experiences, and then I need to show him a particular vision beyond where he's stuck. Yeah, what I've done is okay up till now, but what next? Now to tell him that there's a method of doing it. That's a skill of the trainer. So the learner's experience have to be used in a proper way so that that person is willingly going to the next level, which is expected by the company. The past experience of the learner could become a barrier in absorbing anything new. It's true with all of us, in fact. The trainer needs to adopt reflective learning. Give him a case study, tell him, you ponder over it, you tell me what you think it is. You give me your views. Reflective learning to stimulate the learner into rethinking, reassessing his existing barriers due to past experience. If you say that your past experience is a barrier, he will not learn because you are trying to bully him. Don't do that. Now he has to realize that because I'm thinking like this, because of my past experience and my success factors, I'm not able to learn something new. So give him a possibility, a possible scenario, and tell him, look, what do you think we should do in this case? What are the benefits of it? Then he'll be set thinking. Then he'll come out with his own ways of coming out of his existing barriers. The role of proper languaging is very important by the trainer. He has to put a proper languaging so that the person doesn't feel threatened, he doesn't run away, he doesn't back out, he doesn't go on the defensive. Now comes the trainee's readiness to learn. The people who are sitting there, the adults, how eager are they to learn? Adults display eagerness to learn when they come across real life situation. It's a fact. Since they have got a life situation experience, you teach them through life situations, case studies, they are very eager to learn. Give them theory, they'll run away. They don't want to learn because they feel, most of them feel, theory has got no relevance to real life. Show me something real which I can solve. The facilitator has to thus bounce real life situations and conduct his facilitation through that. Another factor that creates a readiness in the learner is the usefulness of the learning. How useful the learning is. He has to realize it. When he realizes it is useful, then he'll sit throughout the session and he'll learn. He, the facilitator, through real situations drawn from learner's life itself, indicates pathways and solutions which are useful. So the facilitator, the trainer, the trainee, they have to take real situations which both of them can identify, and through that they start taking things ahead. The trainee's orientation to the learning. How is he oriented? Is he positively oriented or not so positively oriented? The learner gets oriented to learning only when he sees value, underline the word value, in terms of problem solving or real situation or a breakthrough. The facilitator should ensure that this orientation is identified as early as possible and direct the process accordingly. I'll give you my experience. When I come across a training group, I do leadership training for large companies. So I come across managers who are sitting there. Within the first 5 or 10 minutes, we have what is called as an icebreaker. And in the icebreaker, my role is to identify who is looking for what value in the training. If you ask them what value you're looking for the training, they'll give you abstract answers. But from their behavior, from the way they talk, through language patterns, we come to know that this is the thing he looks for. And then you make a note of it and then address it according to the way he sees value. The same training module, the same communication is to be addressed differently for different people to see, make them see the value which they see. And everybody sees different values in the same training. This is very important. The trainee's motivation to learn. What is motivating him? The learner responds to external motivators while learning, although his internal priorities may be more important. So there is a push or an effort from the external motivators. The people are sitting in the training room, his colleagues, plus the trainer who's training the group. Incentives offered such as increased job satisfaction, self-esteem, quality of life add value to the adult learning. This is a corporate scenario. The adult manager will go for a learning program when he feels that he is getting increased job satisfaction, self-esteem, and quality of life being added to him through the learning. It can be different forms. It can mean he getting a job of his choice after his training is over, getting some skills which he's been waiting for, etc. These need to be related to the part of the training. Only then would adults respond positively and involve wholeheartedly. It has to be understood by them through the trainer, through the management of the company, that look, you're doing this training and this is where it's going to take you away, take you to a higher level. And to that effect, be open, interact, and then grow and take the value and grow higher. Activities that build up a sense of self-esteem and accomplishment need to be an integral part of the training. So any adult training, you have to ensure that they do things wherein they feel good about themselves and accomplishment, because as adults, we are always in the path of accomplishing. And we always want to be applauded for what we do. So make that as a mood of the training, then the adult learning becomes easier for the adults. The learner's input into the development and prioritization of topics can help them take ownership of the learning process. The learner's input, he's learning, his input into the development and the prioritization of topic can help him. So you can, in some cases, for example, the trainer can meet the learners who are going to be nominated for the training program, ask them, what is it that you're looking for? what do you think is important for you? So each one will give their inputs. You can make a menu card of this and make your training program in such a way that they are getting what they want.